From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made about 6 years ago when the Abundance Food Co-op in Rochester started planning for a bigger future. They wanted a new location, larger, more visible, more space to offer classes, more opportunity maybe to cut prices through higher volume, more work for the community. But let's back up for a moment. You might not be familiar with Abundance Food Co-op or even really what a co-op is. Abundance technically opened in 2001 and it now has roughly 2,500 owners. And they're launching a new owner drive. How do you become an owner? What does it entail? We're going to explain this hour. We'll also tell you about their new store and how Abundance is tying the opening of the store with Earth Day and a series of events on Saturday, so we have a lot to talk about. Let me say hello to our guests for the hour. Jim DeLuca is General Manager of Abundance Food Co-op. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Evan.
Also here is Chris Whitebell, Marketing and Outreach Manager for Abundance. Chris, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And we have two co-presidents of the board of directors at Abundance, one of them wearing a button that says, I own it, which I think is really cool. Paula Hansen, welcome to you, Paula.
Thank you.
You own it, don't you?
I do. I do indeed.
Well, so does Katie Malarkey. Katie, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Thanks for being here. And Megan Schulte is the director of marketing for Sun Common. You might have known them as SED. We'll tell you why they're involved in a moment, but what is Sun Common? Tell us about that.
Sun Common is a local solar installer. We actually lead Western New York in solar installations, and we are the first company to bring community solar to RG&E territory, which allows everyone with an electric bill to go solar.
All right, so they're involved. We got a lot to talk about Saturday, but let's do a little history first just to make sure everyone knows exactly what we're talking about here. So I guess I'll start with Jim DeLuca, who's the general manager and has been with Abundance since when, Jim?
I started 8 years ago.
Okay.
And it's the fifth co-op I've managed since the 1970s. So I've been through a lot of the movement and back for when it was really food for people, not for profit, and have moved forward to being a more sustainable business model and taking the values as well. And I'm really happy to be here at Abundance. You know, we have a staff of about 30, and we're going to get up to about 35 over time. And so the expansion of the new store is going to be producing more employees too.
All right, so let me do a little bit of your history, and then I want to talk about Abundance's history. You've been managing and in the co-op world since the 1970s.
Yes, late 70s.
Started where?
I worked in Atlanta, Georgia at my first co-op. It was called Sevenanda. It meant service is bliss. It was a service project that turned into a co-op at the end, and so they kept the name, but it was natural foods. It was part of the natural foods movement in the 70s, and where 1,000 co-ops started in the country, and then a lot of them failed because they didn't do business practice. And all the co-ops I've managed, I actually have a business degree from Georgia Tech, and so I was somebody who was a hippie who understood how to do business, too.
I remember talking to John Engel from Heron Hill. He said, a hippie who knew how to do business, he felt the same way, and he felt like, I've got a leg up in the hippie world here. And so for you then, you know, where did your travels take you?
So I've managed stores in the French Broad Food Co-op in Asheville, North Carolina, and the Greenfields Market in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and the Great Barrington Market in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It was Berkshire Co-op Market there.
And let me just offer a crunchy question for you,
then. Okay.
You've been able to follow your values all throughout your career?
I have. It's been, I guess it's a hard thing to say, but I somehow grew up with this idea of fairness. And I remember the event that had happened. It was a friend of mine named Mark who was deaf. And we were at a swimming pool together, and all these kids started making fun of him. And I thought how unfair this is. And I realized that I had somehow a bent toward fairness.
Hmm. How old were you?
I was probably in second grade.
Wow. Okay.
And so when I graduated from college in 1970, it was like a complete depression in jobs, and there were no jobs. And so now I managed somehow to get involved in the co-op world, and I like the values a lot, and I am able every day to go to work and feel proud of what I do.
So define a co-op for the audience that maybe hears the term a lot but hasn't really studied what it means.
There are different kinds of co-ops. We're in a retail consumer cooperative, which means that we sell shares of, so you can own a share of a co-op, and our co-op costs $100 to become an owner. And what that means is you have a right to vote for a board of directors, run for the board of directors. The directors then hire a general manager and then oversee the work of the general manager. So what happens is the difference between a typical C corporation and a cooperative corporation, we are a corporation in the state of New York, it's under the co-op law, is that it doesn't matter how much money you have, you can only buy one share that you can vote. And if we actually make a profit, we can issue a patronage dividend at the end of the year to all the people who bought things based upon how much they bought, not how many shares they owned. So in a classic C corporation, if Paula had 1,000 shares and I had 10 shares, she'd outvote me 1,000 to 10. In a co-op world, everybody has the same weight.
Okay. And in this case for Abundance, I said it sort of technically existed since 2001, but tell me a little bit about the history of Abundance.
Abundance started in the hippie days in somebody's house over off East Avenue in the late 60s, and then in 1974 it moved over to Monroe Avenue at the firehouse where the Genesee Arts Center is now. And then in 1999 something happened, and now they had a buying club on Caroline Street for 2 years while they were opening the store at 62 Marshall Street, which we've been at since April 3rd, 2001.
All right, so the Abundance history goes back a lot more than 2001, but now this is a big move and a big change here. And so where is the new home? What's the plan?
The new home is, we spent a long time looking for a new place, years actually, and we finally found a place in the South Wedge where we thought it would be a really great place to be. And so it's 571 South Avenue. It's on the block between Averill and Hamilton. And it's about twice as big as the store we currently have. Has a lot more amenities, a lot more. The idea is to have a great place to hang out. Have a lot more prepared foods, nice seating area. We'll have outdoor seating as well. And so essentially twice as much shopping space to provide more diverse products, bigger volume, discount, possibly savings. And plus we're hoping to reach across Ford Street Bridge to the Plex neighborhood. We're going to bring in a variety of more conventional, less expensive products for that.
I want to ask Chris Whitebell to just tell us what's coming up on Saturday, because there's been a lot of planning for this day, and you could have picked any day. You chose carefully here. So tell us what's coming up on Saturday.
Sure. On Saturday we have our Earth Day grand opening, and we chose Earth Day because the Abundance Cooperative Market, our first co-op, opened on Earth Day in 2001 at 62 Marshall Street, our old location. And so Earth Day has always been a special day for us as our birthday, and also as a celebration of the values of sustainability that the co-op is built on. A cooperative business is sustainable in the terms of local economy, but it, in our co-op specifically, is built on the values of sustainability in terms of how we engage with our environment by choosing to carry products that have a positive impact on the world, including things like non-GMO or fair trade. So on Saturday, we're celebrating all this along with our grand opening, and we're partnering with SunCommon, who Megan's here from, and they do solar energy. And the idea is really just to celebrate Earth Day in everything it conveys for us. We're starting at 10 o'clock with a parade. We're going to be marching from our old store to the new store. Lots of owners are coming out. We have some local businesses and organizations who are going to march with us to share in those values. And when the parade ends at our new store, we're going to have our grand opening ribbon cutting ceremony at 11. And we'll be ceremoniously opening our new store to the public. And right after that starts the Rockworthy Earth Fest. And that's from 11 to 2. And then from 2 to 5, we're going to have a lot of the local partners we have in the community doing tastings, talking about their wares they make. And we're also going to have live music hosted by WAO FM, which is a local radio channel. But I would have Megan talk a little more about the Rockworthy Earth Fest, because it's going to be an awesome place to learn about sustainability and to have some fun. And we're going to have food. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. So. Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
Sure. Earth Day is an interesting day for a renewable energy company, obviously. As corny as it sounds, every day is kind of Earth Day for us.
That's not corny.
So it really made sense just to partner up with Abundance and kind of offer this day of, listen, everyday people can do things in their everyday life to go green. That includes going solar, but it includes bringing in a lot of the resources that we have right here locally. We have some great organizations joining us from Flower City Pickers. I could go through a few of them. Impact Earth will be there helping us compost and teaching people. It's a really family-friendly event. Rec on the Move from the City of Rochester will be there, as well as Healthy Kids, Common Ground Healthy Kids. So we'll have a lot of activities for kids to do. Our main focus really is to open up people's eyes to what they can do in their everyday lives. And we feel that tearing down the barriers to renewable energy is a big part of our mission. And we did that by opening up community solar here in our RG&E territory. We started that program in June, and we filled our pilot projects by the end of the year.
You talk about RG&E territory like it's code for enemy territory.
No, absolutely not.
No?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
RG&E is our friend. RG&E, if you're listening, you're our friend.
Megan's going, you're getting me in so much trouble right here.
No, RG&E is certainly our friend. Community solar works within your utility, so
yeah.
That's why I talk about RG&E.
And it's not true that utilities are the friends of alternative energy companies all across the country. It's hit and miss. So what we're hearing about this positive relationship building, I've heard it from Susan Spencer at RockSpot. I've heard it from Megan here. You know, the importance of having that relationship locally.
Yeah, absolutely. In New York, we have what's called net metering, so that allows us to look at solar on an annual basis. Basically, you can overproduce in the sunnier months, so in spring, summer, and fall, you can overproduce, and then in the winter months when we see less sun hours, you would get that overproduction credited. We need RG&E to hold that storage for you. RG&E acts as your battery, so people who go solar don't need to have a battery storage system. Your utility acts as your battery. With community solar right now, we have that offering specifically in our RG&E territory.
And Megan, you also mentioned the idea that you want it to be, well, you want to take down the barriers to access this. One thing we hear all the time, we talk solar energy on this program, people calling and saying, how much does it cost? Can't afford it. You know, sometimes they have outdated price models. A lot has changed. But there's still a sentiment that, well, that might not be for me. And, you know, in the spirit of what abundance does, in the spirit of this entire conversation about tearing down barriers, making sure that everyone has an opportunity and an access, you know, how are you doing that? Tell people who may have a skepticism about barriers for solar in general, how are you doing that?
Sure. I mean, we offer solar at no upfront cost, whether that's on your roof or in your backyard or through a community solar membership. You can go solar through financing a project or through having a membership in our community solar arrays. Owning a solar energy system at your house is the best return on your investment, without a doubt. But it does cost money, right? And there's financing available for that. What we've done is we've taken community solar. We live in this beautiful city that has beautiful trees, old homes with chimneys, dormers, all of that puts shade on your house. So community solar allows anyone, including renters, with an electric bill to go solar. Again, it's at no upfront cost. So what you basically do is we take a look at what you use in a year. We say, okay, they need this many shares in this array. The combination of your membership and your new much lower RG&E bill is going to be right now about 10% cheaper than what you're paying monthly. We also have a major goal for SunCommon. We're working with NeighborWorks, and we believe that people shouldn't have to choose between paying for groceries and paying for their electric bill. So by 2018, we really hope to have a low to moderate income offering as well.
All right, listeners, if you've got questions, Megan Schulte is here to answer them if you want on that. Or you got a great panel here talking about what co-ops do, what Abundance's model is. You can call the program toll-free. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Or if you're calling from Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. I want Katie and Paul to tell us about how they became co-owners. Katie, was it at first, did you just want to buy enough shares to outvote everyone else? I mean, like, because the Carl Icahn thing here for the Abundance?
No,
you were just a shopper, weren't you?
I was just a shopper. I think, like a lot of people that come into Abundance, I was looking for natural foods, local organic foods.
Going back, by the way, when do you remember when you first kind of went in?
I think I probably first started shopping. I came here for RIT probably, almost 15 years ago. And I think I I came here probably around 2005, found the co-op, but only thought of them as a grocery store. I don't think going in originally, I understood what a co-op was. I understood that it was a different business model than, say, going to any of the other local grocery stores. As I grew up and had my children, who are 2 and 5 now, I was grateful to be able to stay home with them, and that gave me some free time, or the, I should say, the need to have some adult time after my husband came home from work. And so I found that as an opportunity to start to volunteer for the co-op as a director on the board. And since then, I've moved up to being one of the co-presidents. So I think I just became fascinated by the idea of a co-op. The more I learned about it, I didn't know that there was this business model out there that could be both sustainable for the community and sustainable for the planet. So I knew about organic foods, and I knew about fair trade and non-GMO and products like Equal Exchange, but I didn't realize the impact that a store could have on its community, that co-ops are able to keep more money in the local community than a regular grocery store has the opportunity to. And so I think that was a huge part of it for me, and then the other part of it was community. So looking to help other people, educate them about co-ops, about things that are related to their health, and that's something that I'm really excited that we're going to be able to offer in the new store. We're going to have our first actual community room. We'll be able to start hosting classes, cooking classes, and having people from the community and organizations in to tell others what they do for Rochester and for our community, but we'll finally be able to have that space, that room, to be able to help people through the co-op. So
you've seen a lot of growth then.
Yes, it's been exciting. it was hard at first starting to try to find that space, as Jim can say. It's been a long process since I've been on the board, but we're grateful for Jim and for all of the staff at Abundance. Has just been absolutely incredible through all of this change. It's been a lot for everyone to take on, especially with delays in getting the store open, but everybody has just stepped forward, and it's really been a community both inside Abundance and outside of the store.
I'm going to get to our first phone call in just a moment, but David and Ithaca, hang there. I want to ask Paula Hansen to tell her story. So your first time in Abundance, was it as a shopper as well?
Yes, it was. Actually, though, I'm a few years, maybe 1 or 2 years older than Katie. So I actually remember shopping at the food store on Monroe Avenue in the old firehouse. And so that's how long my experience with co-ops goes back. So I was really excited to be able to come to the store on Marshall, not only because of their selection of organic foods and fair trade, but also because there was a real sense of community. When I walk into that store, it's more than I own it. I am part of that store. That store is part of me. And so when the opportunity came for me to be able to serve on the board, I really was excited to find out how it worked, how that would impact me, how that would impact the store. So I know that meetings aren't everybody's cup of tea, but I actually find these meetings kind of interesting. And certainly through this move, it wouldn't have happened without the founders that actually were there all those years ago, and with the support of many of our members who have actually lent the co-op money. It's been quite a bit. I think it's almost over half a million. Is that right, Jim?
Yes, that's correct.
Something like that. And so that's pretty amazing that this store is owned, supported by the people that own it. So we really have this kind of a business model is really encouraging to me. And as I said, it's community. Just going in and having lunch there is a real sense of pride and we're giving back to the community, especially with this new move onto South Avenue.
Paula, when you talk to friends, you know, who are not members or owners, co-owners of Abundance, do you talk to them about that? Do you wonder why more people aren't involved in co-ops?
Well, I do, and I do talk to them about what it's like to go into the store and how I know the cashiers and how I know the shoppers, and I talk about how that feels for me. I mean, I can never walk into Abundance and just buy 3 things and walk out. It's not only that I buy more than I thought I was going to, it's also that I end up talking with the cashiers, I end up talking with somebody in produce, or I end up talking with other shoppers. So, you know, in our world today, there's a lot of talk about isolation. There's a lot of talk about people not being connected to each other.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about that divide. And Abundance is a great place to come together, to shop, to do what you need to do, but also to be connected back with your community. And this new store, with its community space, with its cafe, with the kitchen where hopefully we're going to do some classes, going to be provide even more for us.
All right, let me grab our first phone call, and it's David in Ithaca on the line. Go ahead, David.
Hi. Ithaca is the largest food co-op, retail food co-op in New York State, which is Green Star. And we just last year opened a store in College Town, which we specifically designed to suit the Cornell people, Cornell students. When I was on council, it was after a fire in the early 90s, and that's how I became familiar with the co-op. But I want to mention one thing which really indicates how co-ops operate. In the move to that store, which was burned down, by the way, started by some 10-year-old kid, the move to that store, they moved from another store, which was like four blocks away, and they got a line of people, that four blocks, to pass all the goods from the one store to the new store by a human chain. So they just formed a line that long, and they passed all the goods from one person to the other to the new store. And that's how that was a very co-op sort of
That is a very co-op. That is pretty cool. David, thank you for that. I'm on the history side of things. Well, did you want to jump in? Katie, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for sharing that story, because that's actually where the idea for our parade came about. So that's one of the main reasons why we're starting off the Rock Worthy Earth Fest with the parade. We wanted to somehow connect the history that we had at the Marshall Street location and bring that over to the new South Ave location. We were originally thinking of trying to do that, like actually bring food from the old store over to the new store, but we realized that's probably not the safest way to do it. So instead, we're going to have a parade to go from the new store to bring us to the new one.
Very co-op in spirit there, David. And Jim, how much are you kind of studying what co-ops are doing in other cities and kind of understanding the history around us here?
You know, we belong to the National Co-op Grocers Group, and it's 186 stores in the whole country. And I go twice a year to conferences, and so we get to trade data and best practices, and I get to hang with my peers. And basically, because we're doing so well, we have this national group, we do all kinds of other sustainable things, like we support a rainforest development in Brazil. We support all kinds of different things through slight additions to our purchases that get added in and run this operation. And so I'm quite aware of a lot of what goes on in the co-ops. People call me often and they think I want to start a co-op. And I generally now just direct them to the development group that does it. I used to help more personally, but now there's actual people who get paid to do that, and that's their job. I did participate in the conversations with people who were starting the East Aurora co-op that started last year. The Lexington Food Co-op in Buffalo actually provided a more direct help because it was much closer. So I generally think it's a great thing. I read about the co-op movement. I know about Rochester's connection to the founding original co-op in Rochdale, England, that we go back to in 1844. Frederick Douglass, when he was exiled out of the country, he spoke in Rochdale, England in 1844 twice. So I like to hold that in mind, that I have a connection here that goes all the way back to the beginning of the co-op.
Absolutely. Very cool stuff. Let me grab another phone call. This is Joel in Rochester. Go ahead, Joel.
I moved back to Rochester in 2005 from Minneapolis, which is a mecca for food co-ops. And the very first stop that I made, literally the same day that I came back to Rochester, was over to Marshall Street to buy a share. So I want to encourage everybody who's listening to this program to head over to the new location and become a member. It's essential that we provide support for organizations like and businesses like Abundance that then also provide a lot for the community. So whether it's through, donating at the cash register to nonprofit organizations or the great work that Abundance does in the community, I think it's essential that we support a real food co-op like Abundance. And I've got two words for you before I get off the line. Vegan donuts.
hold on, Joel. Stay there. We're going to talk vegan donuts in a second. But tell me a little bit more about Minneapolis, because when you were bringing up Minneapolis as a hub, a kind of a mecca for co-ops, I saw Jim DeLuca kind of nodding right along with you. Why did you say that, Joel? What was the scene like there?
Well, I mean, in a way, they changed my life in the way in which I look. So moving out to Minnesota was a real change for me in terms of, you know, my politics, my way of seeing the world, my way of interacting with the world. And one way that I did that was through finding out about food and where my food comes from and who the people are that grow it and produce food in the United States and, you know, how this is really about social justice and equity and a whole lot of great, you know, fundamental issues and concerns in the United States. So I was fortunate enough to be affiliated with three co-ops while I was out there, each of which were completely different, two of which are still around and doing really well. And whenever I would travel outside of Minneapolis, I would literally carry the food co-op national directory, and I would go from city to city and go to those food co-ops that were on that list. So, you know, I would plot my course on any trip based on where these co-ops were. So I really support it. When I moved back to Rochester, I thought my soul was going to be sucked from my body because I had lived in this place where there was so much, you know, awareness of and activism around food. What I realized was that Rochester has all the great organizations and companies and businesses and nonprofit organizations that other places do, just on a much smaller scale. So, you know, we have to support organizations like Abundance and really, you know, allow them to thrive. And hopefully, you know, Abundance will continue to do the great work it's been doing for decades in its new location.
Well, Joel, thank you for the phone call. And all right, guys, vegan donuts? You want to tell me about vegan donuts? Is this a secret handshake at Abundance here?
Well, I think, you know, we probably are the central place for the vegan movement. I am not a vegan, and I think that...
Are you allowed to be the general manager at Abundance?
I'm an omnivore, and okay. I think that I'm basically the Mediterranean diet. I think from my studies that the Mediterranean diet appears to have the most data showing that it's the healthiest diet.
Oh, see, now you started war with half your members. The phone's going to ring the rest of the hour. Let's not do this.
We can talk about vegan diet.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
A great thing about Abundance and co-ops is that they get to work with businesses that are smaller and farms that are usually too small to sell to more traditional businesses. So we've actually gotten to work with some really awesome businesses locally. Some now are really big, like I'm sure you've heard of Soy Boy. Yeah. We were the first place to ever sell them. Once again, Nut Butter, that's a co-op, and they started, their owners were members of the original co-op. Mm-hmm. Eat Me Ice Cream. There's a lot, and they're all going to be there on Saturday if you want to taste some of these great things. So, but in terms of the vegan donuts, we one such small business is a local vegan baker named Jenny Johnson, and she had a company called Pudgy Girl Bakery. And I mean, she did cakes, she did cookies, she did truffles, and they were just out of this world. She's now changed the name of the business. It's now called Misfit Donuts and Treats, I believe. Look her up. She's going to be doing business back up and running by, I think, within a month. But she does vegan donuts. So
we'll be selling them.
We'll be selling them. So go check them out. But yeah, she does a great job. So. Yeah.
Couple other things before we get our only break of the hour. Judy writes to the program and says, please be sure to emphasize that anyone can shop at the co-op. You don't have to be a member.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. About now, we sell about 51% of our sales are to owners and 49% to non. So we're happy to sell to everybody, and we hope that people like us enough to actually join.
I think that's something, like Paul and I both said our stories as we came in as shoppers and didn't even realize what a co-op was until we'd been there for a while. But if people are interested in becoming an owner, as Jim said, it's $100 one-time fee. That's for lifetime. And you do get the benefits of being able to vote for the board. So the people that are going to be helping lead the way that the store goes out. And the other benefit, too, is that you get, you can say it, Chris. That's there.
In terms of the benefits of ownership, one at Abundance, they change between co-ops. But our current co-op, you get a 10% discount per month that you can use any day. It's, and you know, if you have a big shop once a month, you can use it then, get a good savings. But the great thing about co-ops, again, you're not going to find this in other types of businesses, is that you can get a dividend relative to how much you shop.
Now, hold on. Are you guys also doing a tote bag for new members?
Yeah, so
that is our thing. Excuse me, you're in an NPR station. You don't get to come in and do tote bags. Our lawyers will call your lawyers, but go ahead.
Well, it was such a good idea. We just any good marketing is
there you
stealing
go.
Ideas.
Yep.
So yeah, so right now we're doing an owner drive, and if you're new to co-ops or you've been thinking about joining Abundance, you shop there, you really like it, now's a great time to do it. We're running it from now until May 7th. You can get we have tote bags made of recycled cotton made in the U.S. right in New Hampshire. We have also, you can pick a T-shirt, USA made, screen printed here locally by Kitty Box Press. They look awesome. They have our new logo. You can show your co-op pride. They say, own it, I own it on it, like Paula's pin. We have buttons. We have stickers to put in your car. We just want people to know that co-ops really rock, and they rock Rochester because they really support our local economy. They're better for the earth, and you can actually have a part in it. And I mean, come on, that's a thing.
All right. So before I grab this break, I do want to ask Jim just to kind of close the loop on some of the things that Joel was talking about. I think it's always important, to the extent that you can, to contextualize our place in the world. And sometimes we get a little down on ourselves. I mean, that happens with negative self-images in communities for various reasons. But Joel had a lot of good things to say about Rochester, even though it's not maybe to Minneapolis's level in terms of a co-op mecca or some of that ethos, some of those values. He sees a lot of it, and he sees a lot of seeds for that to grow. Jim, you've worked since the 1970s in the co-op world. You've worked in different cities in different states. What do you make of that, Rochester compared to Minneapolis, compared to other cities in other states?
Well, I think Rochester has its own special feel to it. It's a beautiful city. It's like a city in the woods, like it was in the old days. It still has the most beautiful trees around. Sorry, solar folks.
Community solar.
There you go. And then, so I think that our hope is that this move to South Avenue will make us visible. At 62 Marshall Street, we're on a side street. People don't drive by ever. And so I see people every day in the old store who'd come in and they'd say, oh, I didn't know you existed. When did you open? I'd say 2001. They've lived in Rochester 15 years and they don't know we exist. So we try to do word of mouth, but we think that the driving by awareness is going to really be effective. And we actually are located in the ideal situation for the standard, which is on your way home down South Avenue, going south, at Averill Street there's a red light, and the ideal situation that you look for is people driving home can actually turn right at a red light and get out and go back, and so we actually found one.
You really are the businessman of the group here. A hippie who knows his business. Look at that. The new Abundance is, what's the address going to be?
571 South Avenue.
571 South Avenue. Saturday's grand opening starts with a parade, and you've got the grand opening at 11 o'clock, and there are a lot of different things going on, so we'll make sure in our second half hour here we'll recap some of that. You're hearing Jim DeLuca, the general manager of Abundance Food Co-op, and Chris Whitebell is marketing and outreach manager for Abundance. Paula Hansen and Katie Malarkey are co-presidents of the Board of Directors at Abundance and longtime shoppers. And Megan Schulte is the Director of Marketing for Sun Common, who's participating in those Saturday events. Let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll come back talk more about this co-op model. I'm curious to hear how Jim views, the co-op's place in the future economy. Sometimes you hear about that as a more of a central part or an idea that it could become more central for Rochester, for other places. But is the growth slower than he expected? We'll talk about that. And make sure you're up to speed on everything that's going on this weekend after this break. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, there's a new Netflix show called 13 Reasons Why. It's about a teen suicide. Some critics have loved it, but suicide prevention groups are concerned about the message it sends and the way it might glamorize suicide. We'll talk about that. Then in our second hour, using art to convey messages during turbulent times. We'll explore those themes Wednesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. You've heard Jim DeLuca use the term hippie several times this hour, and you have this idea of hippies as, peaceful, loving. But I learned during the break that you can turn these hippies very angry if you say something, and that thing is this. There's no grocery stores in Rochester. All the hippies get fighting mad if you say, I'm kidding. But Jim, is that your favorite thing that you hear around town? There's no grocery stores in Rochester.
I've heard that so long. It doesn't faze me at all anymore. We have a lovely grocery store, and we hope you shop there.
That was very measured. That was very calm. Paul, are there any grocery stores in Rochester?
Well, I think there will be a very important one on South Avenue. And just to remind our listeners, you don't need to be, we would love for all of you to become shareholders, but you don't need to be a shareholder to shop there.
Well,
we welcome everyone.
Hal in Sparta wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Hal.
Hi. I just wanted to call and thank Abundance as Springwater Farm. My farm had supplied eggs to the Phoenix and then Abundance for about 15 years. And my two children grew up helping raising hens, collecting eggs, washing eggs, and transporting them with me and putting them on the shelves of the Marshall Street store years ago. And we really appreciated and depended on their support of local farmers, which are rare in terms of the big box stores, whether it be Tops or Wegmans, which have frequently hundreds of thousands of hens in battery boxes versus pastured organic eggs. So I recently joined, that is, I became a shareholder, and I'll try to be there Saturday if I can make it. Thank you very much, Jim, and everyone.
Hal, thank you for that.
I'll take your reply off the line.
Sure. Thank you, Hal. What does that mean to you, Jim?
Oh, it feels great to have somebody call and recognize that the extra effort it takes to deal with small vendors, they appreciate that. And it is extra effort, but it also becomes more personal. And again, I think for me, as part of that thing I talked about when I was in the second grade about being having fairness, you know, I think the idea our society is really polarized, and I think the co-op is a nice place where we can actually meet and greet and have a conversation in which we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable.
Jim, can I just follow up on something he was mentioning about the way we treat the animals that we eat? You know, are there any minimal standards or things that you guys check out before you sell food in Abundance?
We have principles and values, but we don't have strict issues. We promote things and we value things, and we are about to go into we're in the process of applying for our food justice certification, which is a new label that's been come out. It's been developed by Elizabeth Henderson and other people in the country. Elizabeth is a local. She's been on your show a lot.
She's a local farmer. Yeah,
and a founder of CSA. She's written books on CSA. She travels all over the world to talk about them. And so we're in the process of getting certified to be food justice certified, which means that we do, we show and we get investigated to show that we treat our farmers fairly and the farmers treat their workers fairly and that we treat our workers fairly. So, and we're in the process. It's a very long application, and I've finished it, but then the move came into play, and so we'll be being certified by the end of this year.
Okay, and I would just say, you know, to Hal, your phone call, Hal, reminded me of a show that we did. I bet you it's a couple of years ago now, and it was a show that I think got the most feedback or some of the most feedback we've ever gotten, and it was based on an article Nicholas Kristof wrote for the New York Times, and the article was titled something like Torturing the Chickens We Eat, and it was about you know, these larger factory farming operations and how sometimes the labels that you see can be deceiving. I've never forgotten that old saw about 4 out of 5 dentists recommend Crest. Well, that means that dentist recommended Crest and AIM and Aquafresh and everything else. So you don't know this. Well, it's the same kind of thing in food labeling. You know, what do certain things really mean? And that article in the New York Times sparked my interest. So we talked to some local farmers just trying to figure out, if I'm buying a chicken at a store, can I feel decent that the chicken wasn't tortured? And it was an interesting conversation, to say the least. And maybe we'll revisit that because I think it's been an interesting couple of years. So I bet you that was a couple of years ago. But Hal, thanks for what you do, and thanks for taking the time to call the program and tell us more about your feelings on working with Abundance. I'll get back to your phone calls now. Bill in Canandaigua is next up. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi. Congratulations to the co-op and all of your hard work. It's going to be fun to stop up from Canandaigua and visit it. Two quick things. Don't forget to tell us what hours you're open on a regular basis, and I'd like to hear the contact information for the solar folks as well. But my question is about the economy of co-ops. When I go to the Abundance Co-op, I often look at products and I say, gee, that seems sort of expensive compared to shopping at other local stores, you know, big box stores. I wondered if you'd talk about that a little bit. And you also had mentioned earlier on in the program about the a new line of products, I think it was, that are maybe less expensive. And I got the impression sort of everyday household items everybody needs kind of thing, and wanting to attract other shoppers who maybe haven't been to a co-op before. So I'd like to hear about that, and I'm happy to take my answers off
here. All right, Bill, thank you. So let's work backwards here. You want to know the hours for Abundance, and again, opening on 571 South Avenue?
Yes.
So starting on Saturday, the hours will be what?
Well, we'll open at the grand opening time at the 11:30 ribbon cutting on this Saturday, but normally we'll be open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, and he also wanted to know Sun Common's contact information to get more on solar.
Sure. Suncommon.com is our website if you want to hear about our company. We're locally owned. We're also a B Corp, which I think ties well into the food justice certification that you were talking about. You can also go to GoSolarRochester.com and learn about community solar as well.
Okay, and he had comments or questions about prices. He says sometimes it goes to a co-op or like Abundance and thinks, well, things look good, but prices look a little higher. And you want to talk about the economics, maybe the scale. Chris, go ahead.
Sure. What an experience that a lot of people have had shopping at co-ops is sometimes things do cost a little more than they do at a big box shop. One reason is that you are a small farm is not able to have the volume of production that a large industrial farm has, so they require more money to be sustainable, to survive. And we believe that premium is worth paying. Because when you cut down the cost to that level, you're also losing quality, as with the eggs. Hal and his eggs, it took time to clean them individually and to be transported by his sons to their store to put on the shelf. But that egg, I guarantee you, tastes a lot better. You can come taste some of our eggs from, like, Meadow Creek. These are better eggs than you're going to get with the industrial and the styrofoam package. So part of that cost is you're getting better quality and you're supporting your local economy. But saying that, we do work very hard to make our store affordable for everybody, and we've implemented a number of ways to try to do that. One thing you mentioned was, I think it's our Co-op Basics line. This is a really high-quality line of products from Field Day that's only available in co-ops like us and the NCG. They're all organic, and they're actually really high quality. I mean, they're everyday products, so things like they're not all just fresh items. There's things like crackers or cookies, and we have house cleaning products, and they're a very good quality line. It's a very standard price, and it matches a lot of competitors around here. We also do we always have something on sale, about 5 to 6 fresh items that are organic and or local, and I can't tell you whose prices we match, but I can tell you that we match all the local prices on like organic kale or carrots. And it's a sale item, so it changes. But a lot of people come in and just shop those, and they get awesome produce for a really good price. So shop the sales, have a shopping list, look at our Co-op Basics. You can actually – oh, and I will just add that our bulk department is an amazing way to save money. If you're looking – it's organic. It's a lot of it's locally made or fairly sourced, and it's provided by another co-op called TR Farms. But you can have amazing food because you bring your own container, you buy by the pound, you buy what you need. Bulk shopping is an awesome way to save. So you can save at the co-op.
And I would add to that several of your farmers will be at the Rockworthy Festival on Saturday, so people can talk to those farmers and find out exactly their practices.
I would also say, Bill, not at all intending to sound soapboxy, but one question I've been thinking about in recent years, ever since I started reading people like Michael Pollan and many others, is whether food should be more expensive. And I don't mean that for people struggling, living in poverty. I mean, you're making choices every single day just to get by. I'm talking about for many of us who could maybe afford to pay a little bit more, and we're sort of addicted to the cheapest clothing we can get, the cheapest food we can get. And then sometimes what that means is we have a world where chickens are literally tortured before we eat them, and we don't ever see them. And it takes hidden videos to see what that looks like, or kids are working to make clothing in foreign countries. And so, I again, I don't mean to be soapboxy. I'm just sort of weighing in on this idea that I'm thinking all the time about whether, you know, if we're looking for just the cheapest thing all the time, if there are consequences for that. So I think it's a good question to keep in mind. I'm going to grab one more phone call. This is Bill in Spencerport, next up on the phones. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a couple of questions. Can you find pretty much everything at the co-op that you would find at, like, a Tops or a Wegmans? My first question.
Okay. Hang there. Jim DeLuca?
Pretty much everything. We're a full-line grocery store, but that you wouldn't have nearly as many brands, and you wouldn't recognize a lot of the brands probably if you were just a Tops or a Wegmans shopper. But, you know, I would say that you could probably get 85% of whatever you bought in any other store.
Okay, so I'm kind of intrigued. The caller previously had mentioned that sometimes you find prices to be higher, and I guess I understand that. But the other question I have is, if I were to come in without actually joining, can you sample buying a few items, you know, on a trial basis to see if they actually are better and you like them better than what you're used to getting? Or do you have to just sign up for a membership right off the bat?
Oh, no. As I said earlier, almost half the people who shop are not owners, and you can shop normally.
I guess I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's open to the public. Everyone's welcome.
So the only advantage then to joining is so that you can have a vote?
Well, I guess that's one of the things the National Co-op Grocers Group is working on this year, that the intangible part of what's valuable about supporting co-ops is about community and about, you know, there was a presentation at MCC last year about how do you create a neighborhood that actually functions. And so there's a grocery store, there's a cleaner, there's all these items that would create a one-mile radius. And you try to create a neighborhood that's sustainable in a one-mile radius. That's and then you know your people, you know what's going on. However, we actually do a substantial amount of our business comes from more than 5 miles away because we are special in a way, and we have a long-term experience and a staff of a lot of experience. We have people who have been working with us for 15 years, which is kind of unusual for retail.
And let me just ask, and we're starting to lose time, and I'm starting to panic a little because I have a lot I want to talk about. But real quick, Paula, Katie, what would you say to someone like Bill? He's saying, well, the benefits are you get a vote, but how would you describe, what's the benefit of being a member?
Well, I think the vote is something that's really important. It means that I have a voice in this business that I actually own part of. And to me, that's an incredible thing. But again, to go back to my earlier comments about community, about the isolation that we all feel in this world, and to know that I'm going into this store that's part of that I own. Mm-hmm. And that, so to me, it's the vote and much more.
Okay. Katie?
I think the thing, we try not to mention it too much, but I think the thing that gets a lot of people to sign up to get a share is that you do get a discount. So you get a 10% discount. You get to pick your day that you want to come in and do all your main shopping that day, and you get 10% just taken off your bill. So you can very, very quickly recoup that cost of buying a share. And then you also see the other benefits, which is voting on who the board gets to be, having an input in this store that you own, which is something that's very unusual in today.
Mm-hmm. So. And Jim DeLuca, are we going to see more co-ops in economic models? Occasionally see city leaders, city council, these kind of conversations on this program, more talk about co-ops. I'm not sure we see all that much more, but is that
right.
going to start changing?
Well, you know, we participated in the Democracy Collaborative presentations here, trying to figure out how Rochester could leverage more cooperative businesses like they do in Cleveland and other places. And it seems to me like it's getting off to a slow start. I think that the model itself is excellent. It gets people invested. I think they're talking about worker co-ops so that the people who get jobs actually own the business, which is quite good. You have a clear advantage of why I should work hard because I get it's my business. You know, it's a little easier to be a consumer co-op. All I have to do is shop.
Very good. A couple more quick audience questions, and then we'll talk about what's coming up on Saturday before we close the hour. Craig wants to know, if I'm a member of Abundance, does that transfer to other stores in other places?
Very few co-ops do the transfer anymore because they have patronage dividend, which means that if I give you money off and you don't own my share, then I'm taking money away from the people who actually own the store.
Okay, so the answer in this case is no.
No.
Okay. And Rachel just wants to say, I'm an Abundance member and so pleased they're working with Sun Common to promote this Earth Day Festival. It's one of the most important things we all can do to fight climate change. Celebrate together and find hope with one another as we make our lives more sustainable. We all can choose food from local farmers and be empowered to choose local green solar energy. So thank you. That comes from Rachel.
Yeah. Hey, Rachel.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the things that a lot of our solar customers find is that whether you're a member of a CSA, we also call it a CSA, or if you own solar at your own house, you're going to change how you use your energy and change how you look at electricity. And that's really empowering that you take that into your own hands.
All right, so real quick here, we've got about a minute left. Chris Whitebell, the schedule for Saturday. What's going on Saturday?
Okay, Earth Day Parade starts at 10 o'clock, meet at 9 at the Wadsworth Square and 62 Marshall Street. We're going to get everyone together, then we'd step off at 10 o'clock, head to the new store, grand opening at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the Rockworthy Earth Fest, that's from 11 to 2. We're shutting down a part of South Ave. There's going to be lots of vendors, music, food. And then the fun doesn't stop because it continues, and we'll continue to have live music in our parking lot and tastings. You can meet all these awesome local farmers and taste inside the store. You can see what it's all about. And then, you know, it's a full day, and there's lots of stuff going on in town, so you can dip in and dip out. It's just, I really recommend you coming down and enjoy
Megan,
the South Wedge.
Anything you want to add, Megan?
Yeah, I think that this is a way for people to participate in climate change and in the March for Science. This is a way to do that. You know, there's other ways to protest, and that can be by learning yourself.
Well, there's a lot happening on Saturday, and boy, we had a lot of interest from the audience. You see, people do know you exist, it turns out. And a lot more people now do than didn't at the start of the hour.
Right.
Jim, thank you. Thanks for sharing the story. Chris, appreciate that. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you to Paula Hansen, Katie Malarkey, Shoppers, co-owners, co-presidents of the board, Megan Schulte from SunCom, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Rob Braden, who might just be a member as well of Abundance Co-op. He is! And Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon, and we'll talk to you Wednesday on member-supported public radio.